Welcome to Flipping Off, a purpose-driven podcast about flipping houses and making a difference.
All right, well, here we are back in the studio. Some of us are a few pounds than others after we ate a lot of...
A few pounds what?
A few pounds heavier than others.
Nope.
Not Tim. He went to the gym, right?
Yes. Yes. You know what? It's the best thing.
Yeah. Three times a week for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. With all the turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, pumpkin pie.
Oh, my.
Well, here we are, and we are closing out the year. I mean, is this crazy? We're in the final month of the year, and a couple weeks ago, we had Mark Weisenberger on here, and we told you that we were going to be talking about the masterminds and the power of the mastermind and our mastermind groups and the development and all that's been happening for, what do we say, the last couple years, hon?
Yeah, I believe it was in, we've always had the idea of personal development and mastermind meetings. And it's definitely grown over the last couple of years. And I believe it was right around 2 years ago that we made a very definitive shift in the direction and intention of the mastermind groups. And in fact, I believe it was then that we changed the name to the MMM, or Mastering the Mindset.
Got it.
Yeah.
So we got, that's obviously, forgive my non-introduction, that's my wife Melina here.
And, hey.
We've got Oscar and Tim here with us as well, because they ultimately head up a lot of the mastermind groups and been actively involved in them. And I think the purpose of this podcast is really to talk about, you know, what are the MMMs, like really set the expectations for what they are, because there's a lot of confusion around the club as to, you know, should I participate in them? What are they? Well, I went to one and I don't know. And there's just all this like kind of ambiguous talk about what they are. And if we go back before the MMMs, I think they were born under the idea that, you know, in the past I had done some personal mentoring with students and taking them through like, you know, a 12-week process and like breaking down, you know, mindsets and challenges and different things. And when we had looked forward, you know, several years later in the club, most of the people that had plugged in and gone through some of those mastermind groups with me or mentorship with me, they were still club members.
Yep. And having success.
And having success. And so we wanted to, while I can't do that all the time, I can't do it year round with a group of people, it's just not possible. This was kind of morphed in your idea of like what could it look like to not only have the monthly meetings where we train people and all that good stuff, but then break down the club in smaller areas in the local areas where there are real estate investors, you know, actively participating. And while these mastermind groups have nothing to do with real estate, they have everything to do with real estate.
Right.
Right. So yeah. Maybe you guys can share, and we really want to make sure that every person inside of our club, both new and old and coming ones, like this is a podcast that's really going to live forever, where we want people to really listen to this and take to heart why, you know, this is a very important part of your business. And if you're missing it, quite frankly, you know, I just don't know why you call yourself in business.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think probably the best way to start it is, you know, I remember, it's like I said, it's morphed as the years have gone by. And Tim and I have always been really probably the most committed, I think, in the beginning to the creation and the evolution of the mastermind meetings. And so as time, and one of the things, you know, like you said, they're all over the place in different local, you know, local areas. So we try to go into, you know, each person's backyard. So the main office is in Riverside. So everybody comes to Riverside for the trainings and things like that. But we wanted to be able to connect with people in their own backyard. So we started in San Diego, I guess technically in North County, because, you know, San Diegans, it's not the same. But anyway, and then Orange County and then L.A. County. And so we have continued to do that. And over the years, as Tim and I, we would usually be traveling together to go to the different areas. The conversations would come up between the two of us where we would discuss, you know, what are the expectations and what's working and what isn't working. And about 2 years ago is when we changed the title, the name of it, to Mastering the Mindset from the Mastermind meeting. And so I remember Tim was driving and I was sitting in the passenger seat and we were talking, and I actually wrote down in my notes some agreements for MMM participants. And instead of calling them rules, because nobody wants to live by rules, well, maybe that's just me, but, you know, we created agreements so that each person, as they come in, would be in agreement of what was going to take place during these mastermind meetings. So the first one was that it's not real estate training. We really don't. It's not a time to come together and discuss real estate training. We have real estate trainings that are scheduled and prepared for and delivered to the entire club as a whole. So it's designed to grow our interpersonal communication and mindset. So the idea, it was funny, when we were sitting down talking about what is the intention or the hope or the purpose of the mastermind, we actually said, should we create a mission statement? And then we started laughing, remember?
Right.
We said, oh, well, the mission statement is actually the club mission statement, which is, you know, we want to empower people to live out their core purpose.
Right.
That's all this is. And this is just a part of that. This is one of the biggest tools for people to be able to create and live into what their core purpose is.
Right.
So during our 3-day training, right, I always start Sunday morning with this conversation. And in essence, we've agreed that the Mastering the Mindset is a continuation, right, of that conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. So, and again, it's morphed. We had a book that we would follow. The book was The Laws of Success by Napoleon Hill. And, you know, I know that that is one of the most powerful books. The principles in it are so powerful and so true and so timeless,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Because, I mean, the book was written in the early 20s by Napoleon Hill.
Right.
And those principles still remain completely relevant today. While the language maybe changes a little bit.
Sure.
Right, because of the Urban Dictionary. But because now we have an Urban Dictionary, which we didn't have before. But ultimately, all of the concepts are absolutely timeless and perfect. And so we had always used that as our guideline to the Mastering the Mindset conversation. And I think at this point, that's starting to shift a little bit. We're still going to use those same principles, but whether or not we're going to use every chapter in the book is kind of up for grabs.
Right.
So it's still going to be a guideline. Would you guys agree with that?
Yep.
A guideline.
Yep. Yeah.
The idea was it was never designed to be a book club.
No.
Because I've heard people say, "Oh, this is like it's like a book club. You're not reading a book to go through line by line, chapter by chapter in the book and talk about, you know, author insights and these different types of things. It's more along the lines of what are the principles that I can take from this and apply to my own life and in my own business."
Exactly.
Correct?
That was exactly.
And the idea would be, because we have students join at different times, mm-hmm. if it takes you an entire year to get through a book,
yeah,
they can pick up the book at any point
right.
and be part of the conversation.
Exactly.
So that right there is invaluable, right? Because if we ever morph into a book where we're going to actually go through a book, I can just hear plenty of students saying, well, off to catch the next book because, you know, you guys are in the middle of the book and I can't play catch up.
Right. And that's right? not the intention.
And so that's a myth that's out there for a lot of people.
Right.
You know, so I think that's really important. I think it was brilliant to come up with that book, and each chapter sits alone and I don't have to go back and play catch up. And if I join the club on Thursday and we have a mastermind on Saturday, you know, I can be there.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That is exactly right. And you don't even need to necessarily read the book. Right? The book is simply a talking point. It is a subject or a principle that is relevant to everybody's life and business. That's what it's all about.
Okay.
So I'll finish the first agreement was that it's not real estate investing, but it is created to inspire and encourage all of us to live out our core purpose. The second thing is that it's a safe place to share, that people are allowed to share anything, whatever they are experiencing or feeling. But it has to be your own personal experience, so it's not a place for gossip or anything like that. But everybody agrees that there's no judgment or, you know, for the opinions of anybody else, and anything that is said there stays there. So, and that's a very important piece, and I believe that we've done a really good job at living that out. The third thing is that, this is my own, this is definitely my words, but it's number 3 is transparency is the crux of personal growth. We cannot grow if we do not share. So the idea is not to hear, you know, the same three people speaking. Mm-hmm. The idea is to have every single person share. It doesn't mean that every person must share, right? Because I don't want people to feel like, oh, I can't, you know, they're going to call me out and I have to talk about where I'm at.
Sure.
That isn't really the point. The point is that, you know, the people who share are the people who grow. So, and there is a facilitator that will, and it's cool because a facilitator is always one of a club member. It's a current student. So it's peer facilitation. Mm. So it gives the opportunity for current club members to step into a leadership role. It's one of the first steps in becoming a leader is facilitating these MMMs. And part of that is to keep control on the crowd. And I think we do a good job of that.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Not to interrupt you, I just mm-hmm. remember a couple weeks ago, Oscar, you were talking about the book you were reading, and mm-hmm. there was three things that took place. There was commitment, right?
Commitment, yep.
Observe.
Observing, yep.
And then?
Prepare.
So one of the things I've noticed on the outside looking in, right, is very few people commit to these masterminds.
Absolutely.
Like, they just kind of hit or miss. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not doing anything that night, so it's not a big deal. So they don't have the opportunity to do exactly that. Commit, observe, because there are also people that if I come, I feel like I have to say something mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, you have two ears and one mouth, so why not just listen? And you have the opportunity to listen to people that are doing what it is you want to do. I mean, the fact that, Tim, have you missed a mastermind meeting yet?
I think I might have missed one or two.
One or two ever. Otherwise,
yeah, only because I've been on vacation at the time.
Yeah. So other than that, he's there, you know, and like that's a really big deal. You know, it's a priority. Is there ever times when you don't want to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they're at 7 o'clock at night and you're coming from Riverside. You got to drive out to LA or down to San Diego or Orange County. And you've had a whole day, got up at 5 o'clock in the morning doing what you're doing.
Gone to the gym.
Well, that's probably not true, but. Maybe once in a while in there.
Couldn't even keep a straight face.
This is what accountability looks like, people.
Yeah. Tim committed to going to the gym, so we are holding him accountable. So with that, the commitment, you know, it's what I say I'm doing, right, even after the feelings have long since passed.
Absolutely.
And I do it anyways.
Yep.
Right. And so I think that's a really big miss for a lot. At least I hear that. I hear people make so many excuses as to what it looks like to commit. But if they just commit and observe, like, well, I didn't do the chapter, or I don't even have anything to add, or I'm not good enough for this, or I'm not good. Like, everybody started out that way.
Yep.
You know? Everybody forgets Tim couldn't talk to a microphone in a room full of his friends and family at one point.
That's right.
You know,
that's exactly right.
Here he is on stage writing curriculum, teaching other people, you know, sitting in a podcast capable of, you know, not only can he talk, but he can handle us making fun of him. And, you know, he can be the brunt of jokes for weeks. And it's
right.
been massive growth. It really has. And we take it for granted. We forget.
I agree. You know, it's funny that you say that because I don't know that you know this, but I started with the agreements and I read the first three. There's actually five agreements. Number four, well, I'll go to number five first, because number five is actually, these meetings are crucial to your business. They should be on your calendar ahead of time, and you should schedule the rest of your activities around it. It's not something to attend because you have nothing better to do.
Yep.
Commit to attending.
Yeah.
It's so funny, because that's absolutely number five on the agreement.
Yeah. Yeah. When we hand out the schedule a quarter in advance, those are the things that need to be the non-negotiables, you know, unless somebody's getting married, graduating from high school, or you're having a baby,
sure,
you know, or you're sick, you
right.
know, and you can't
right.
make it.
Right.
Those things happen, but all the other excuses are just that. And then when you show up, you got to show up and be present.
That's number four.
You know, I don't know how many times I've watched, like, so I don't participate in the mastermind meetings. That's for you and for Tim and the other leaders to be able to do. And so our own purposes for me not to run those meetings, if you will. But I get to watch a lot of the videos and a lot of the pictures I see. And there's always somebody in a mastermind meeting on their phone. There's always
bizarre.
Somebody doing something else.
Yeah.
How long do these mastermind meetings last?
90 minutes.
Roughly.
90 minutes.
Yep.
So relative to your life, you know, let's say you even had to drive there and drive home. Let's say it's 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
what are we talking, every 2 to 3 weeks?
Yep.
So 15 times a year?
Yeah, it's life-giving.
It blows my mind. Blows my mind.
So that's actually number four. It says, stay present in the conversation. Stay off your phones and other devices. It says, one conversation only at a time. Your mind cannot do two things at once. If you are reading something, you are not listening to the person sharing.
Wow. You know what I used to do in my mentorship group is when they walked in the door, their phone had to go in a basket on off.
Yeah, I know.
Have you guys considered that?
Of course. Yeah, I consider it all the time, you know.
I mean,
My
time has value, and
absolutely.
If nobody wants to stop and listen, then I have better things to do. So
I'm in agreement.
You know, you spend a lot of time, honey, preparing and going to all these different things. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to up that game a little bit and say, if you can't do that, then leave.
Don't bother. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think we just created a new agreement.
I agree.
You agree?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Totally.
Yeah.
I know that John Slater and Celine have, they've since moved down south, right? They went from Rancho down to Menifee.
Mm-hmm.
And I know John came to us and said, I really want to take, you know, ownership of the San Diego group and running and making sure that I'm 100% committed to the masterminds and helping to grow and facilitate people down there. And at the end of the day, that's what we're looking for. The guy comes and steps up and says, this is what I like to do. Do I have your blessing to do it? And then... you know, if he's going to take his time to do that and run down there, then I think it's just as valuable. And a guy who's closed, you know, multiple deals and got out of multiple jobs, and here he is several years later. I don't know. Maybe it's time, 2018, we implement maybe some new standards inside these mastermind meetings.
I completely agree. I think it's the most important thing. I feel like I don't believe that we can. Get the urgency across more than anything. You know, if you think about a couple weeks ago when we had Mark Weisenberger in here,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, spotlighting him as a student, mm-hmm. and he talked about, he gave such powerful nuggets about on how to become a successful business owner and the things that he's done. And if, like, I could only get people to understand that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That is the opportunity that you have.
I get asked a lot about, so how do I become a coach? How do I become a leader? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I get into those positions that people have in the club? Because when I say positions, they're not paid. They're not employees. They're just people that have stepped up and said, this is what I want to be able to do. How do I do that? And, you know, I tell people, I mean, the first thing you got to do is you've got to show up. You've got to be the person that when others talk, they go, man, that guy's always here first, and he's always leaving last.
Yep.
You know, when there's something to get done, gosh, he's right in the middle of getting it done. It's not like, oh, yeah, oh, that needed to be done. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. I'll get it next time. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know those people.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
But they want to run a business. What they really want is they want the accolades of running the business. They want to be known as a leader. But they don't really want to put in the effort and the work that it really takes. And, of course, they'd love the paydays.
Of course. Yeah, you because know? That's what happens is that when you become that leader, the opportunity for leverage becomes like you can't even help it. It just automatically happens. And leverage is how you create wealth inside of this business. And if only people could understand the opportunity that's available to them. So, you know, the idea of the student becoming the coach is really what created the club. And now we have offered that opportunity to other people for the student to become the coach and then that student to become the coach. And what comes with that is responsibility, right? Because you then are accountable to other people. But most importantly, you have to be accountable to yourself and the success that you're looking to have.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you've been doing this a few years.
Yes.
Yeah, a few years. Everybody hear that? Because I think one of the things, and it'll be politically incorrect here for a minute, but I've heard people say, oh, I attended that once and that really wasn't for me, or that wasn't what I expected, or what have you. What would you say to those people?
You don't want to know what I'd say to them. I don't think you talk about politically correct. Ugh. You know, go ahead, Tim. Go ahead.
I personally wouldn't address those people, but I would address to everybody else that for me, the people that really want to grow show up in that room. And when I'm in that room with the people that want to grow, they become like on my radar as somebody that I want to pour into more because I know that like they're committed. So I won't address the guy who says that wasn't for me because obviously you don't want to grow your business, and that's fine by me. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going where you're going in your life, and I don't have any idea where that is, and it may not be for you. But for the people who want to have success with what we do inside the club, people who want to really grow a business, I think that those of you that show up and you know who you are if you're listening to this, you're the ones who I really want to pour into because you are committed to your business and I can see it because you drive from LA to Oceanside and meet me there.
Right. Agreed. Me too. I feel the exact same way. 100% people who actually show up and participate, at some point that relationship becomes, that's how relationships are built is by time, right? Sure. Relationships are created by spending time together. And what better opportunity is there to get to know somebody than a Mastering the Mindset meeting? Because that's where we speak frankly, transparently, and authentically.
Right. And we've kind of, it feels like we've kind of drifted a little bit from exactly what is the MMM.
Mm-hmm.
But it, I mean, it all fits. So I think that where it hits me is that what you had just said is that the people that show up, they're the ones who really want to do the business, and I want to pour in. And I totally lost my train of thought. But I think it... I've totally lost my train of thought.
Maybe. So Oscar, you and I were speaking earlier about the idea of, because we've shifted in our initial 3-day training, right? What we call our RPP, we've shifted Sunday morning to a conversation called Mastering the Mindset. And we've created a template, if you will, mm-hmm. about how to start the conversation. And the conversation is never the same because it's always about whoever is in the room and where we actually are. And we created we call it the emotional wave, if you will, that people experience in life, the life wave, and the emotions that go through it, right?
Right.
So we were talking earlier about that conversation continuing.
So I think first of all, I've become re-engaged or more engaged, I don't know which way is right, with the MMMs. Mm-hmm. And what became clear to me is this last time that I shared, which I had never done before,
on
Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And what really kind of triggered for me is that I was kind of pissed off with myself. That I hadn't been participating, not so much because I wasn't showing up, right? Because anybody can just show up.
Sure.
But rather that I wasn't participating, and who am I to take away that experience from the people that are participating?
Mm.
Who am I to not show up for them to be able to pour into them based on my life experiences and where I've been? Because I'm positive that people are dealing with what I've dealt with in the past, and they don't know it because I'm not sharing it.
Right.
So... the other side of that, it became clear is that, man, I had this sense of relief once I shared, right? Like, I kept telling myself, it's behind me, but it wasn't until I left it behind that day, right? So now it's like, all right, clear road, move forward.
That's
so
amazing.
So to me, that's the big dynamic change. So it was, we had a meeting about, hey, what are we going to do with these masterminds in 2018? What's that look like? What are we going to? And for me, it was really clear that the conversation that you start on Sunday mornings at that training needs to be carried forward through the MMMs so that people are clear now, oh, that's what it is.
Right.
Right.
There's no guessing game anymore. It's Dave's point. It's not a book club.
No.
It's never going to be a book club.
No.
It's about being fully engaged, being present, being focused, and everything we do and say in those meetings directly affects who you are as a person and who you are as a real estate investor.
Amen.
I think what Oscar hit on two things. I think part of it is that we kind of go back and forth between calling it a mastermind.
Uh-huh.
And people have, an idea of what a mastermind is. I mean, typically a mastermind means there's four of us who are all running our business, who all are successful in certain ways, pouring into each other and masterminding new ideas. To me, that's what a mastermind is, and that's not what this is.
This is mastering the mindset.
This is more mastering the mindset. That's the reason why we shifted the name, because it was like mastermind doesn't – I think it confuses people. So that's why this is called the mastering the mindset. And then one of the things that Oscar said was, you know, his finally sharing and allowing people to understand where he's been, it helps – it helps other people. It helps me to really understand Oscar. It helps me to realize that when I'm going through those things, that if he shares that he was there and how he got through it, it makes me feel not alone. Like I'm not, there's something wrong with me because I'm struggling with this. And I think that it goes back to what you said about people asking, and I think Dave was mentioning it, people asking, how do I become a leader inside the club? How do I become a leader? And the for me, it's that, the visual for me is that a leader has to have at least a clear vision of what it looks like moving forward for the people that are following. And if nothing else, the leader can be on the other side of some valley and leading somebody through that valley, because I've already been there.
Yes.
And that for me is how the mastermind, I like to show up in the mastermind in one of two places. Either I'm going to share where I'm at right now, and say, hey, this is, I'm stuck. Somebody help me through this that I'm stuck in. Or I'm able to, when somebody else shares where they're stuck, I can share where I experienced something very similar and how I was able to get through it. And that you're not alone. Like, everybody goes through this.
It's
and
normal.
You can come through the other side. And on the other side is a payday.
Yeah.
You know, just to piggyback off of that real quick. So, because... it's really hard to let go of saying mastermind.
Right. Yeah. Did I just say it again?
Yeah, you a couple did. Times. Yeah. But and it's not so much about that, but the other thing that we talked about was, is it mastering the mindset or is it mastering your mindset?
Right.
Right? Because it's not about, there is no such thing as the mindset, right?
Right.
Because everybody's different. Everybody has their own things to deal with. But if we're able to master our own mindset and be able to create that clearance and move forward, different ballgame. Right.
So I just have to ask this question. I want to hear from, like, I just have this question I want to pose to each one of you. And this is, well, whoever wants to share first. Is it possible to lead when you're in the valley? So that's that right there. I know. So this is, if you want to get a taste of what the mastering the mindset is like, that's actually the kind of question.
So is it possible to lead while you're in the valley? I think it depends. It's easy to be there. It's easy to show up and be in front of people. But you have to make a choice to be okay with where you're at and do the things that are required of you as a leader versus just being there and just floundering in the mud, if you will, right? Just not going anywhere, not doing anything. You kind of show up, this is from experience, right? You show up, but I refer to it as ghosting around, right? You're kind of there, but mentally you're checked out. You go through the steps, you go through the different things. So from that perspective, I think it's difficult, but it is doable so long as you become self-aware and able to work through it. Right? But you don't become self-aware until you're willing to work through it and be open to share and have the dialogue and create those conversations with others so that, you know, like I said, it was relief for me to be able to share, right? So, cool, I'm good now. It doesn't mean that I wasn't moving forward. It's that I would take 3 steps forward and 5 steps back, right? Kind of the way it worked. And so I continue to work, but...
Do you think that you did that 3 steps forward and 5 steps back? Do you think that you experienced those 5 steps backwards because you were maybe alone? Did you feel alone because you weren't necessarily sharing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The average person isn't willing to share their personal life with whomever, right?
Right. Especially when you're in the freaking valley. Who wants to talk about it when you suck?
Right.
And you're in the front.
Yeah, and you're in the front. That sucks. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you, in hindsight, I guess that's really it. It's being able to reach out. And the interesting thing, right, is having filled leadership roles frequently,
yeah,
I'm always telling them, hey, don't suffer in silence. Make sure you reach out. Ask for help.
Everything you didn't
except when it became about me. And I was like, nah, I got this. I'm good.
Right.
Yes.
Thanks for looking at me, but I'm good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And could you consider that, would you state that if you had been committed to going to the masterminds, the Mastering the Mindset meetings, maybe you would have, do you think you would have shared more? Because let's just be honest, you weren't committed during that time, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22, right? Mm-hmm. So had I participated more in the Mastering the Mindset meetings, would I have been more willing to share?
Maybe not necessarily there, but do you think it would have helped your mindset to get, you know, to where you needed to get to?
I think so, and more so because...
sped up the awareness, maybe.
You become more like the people you're around, right? So mm-hmm. if I decide to go in a shell... Mm-hmm. Well, I'm there by myself or somebody else in a neighboring shell. Mm-hmm. We're not really talking to each other, mm-hmm. so life is good, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But if I'm willing to step out mm-hmm. and listen, observe mm-hmm. at what other people are doing, because there's so much you can learn and take away from just being in the room and focused and aware
right.
that will blow your mind to begin with.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the answer is yes. Absolutely. It, like Dave said, it would have sped up the process mm-hmm. so that it didn't last 18 or 24 months.
Right. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Tim?
I'll answer kind of the same question, which is, can you lead while you're in the valley? And for me, I think the answer is absolutely yes. Mm-hmm. However, you have to be a big leader mm-hmm. to do that. And the only way I can say that and kind of give you an idea of what I'm thinking is that I, like Oscar, when I'm going through a valley, I struggle with sharing it. But I have no problem telling other people that they need to share.
Of course.
And I've learned through, like, the MMMs that when somebody else shares that they're through the valley, it usually somebody will share that they're in a valley, and then maybe somebody like Melina will feed in. And I'm able to see in the other person what I can't see in myself, you know, like I think it's biblical, something about, you know, a speck in your eye, something like that. But I'm able to see in other people what I can't see in myself, and I get stuck there. But mm-hmm. when I see the people that I am following sharing where they're at in their valley, it kind of gives me freedom. Not freedom. It gives me an okay to be stuck where I'm not be stuck, but it gives me an okay to be in a valley.
Sure.
Because I put myself in a spot like, well, I'm a leader here and I shouldn't be in a valley. Why am I, like, what's wrong with me that I'm stuck here? Whatever that is.
Sure.
And if I stay inside myself, I'll stay there in something's wrong with me. But then a leader will share that they're in a valley. Somebody who I look up to shares that they're in a valley. And I'm like, well, they're not, like, they're going through it too, and it's okay, and it's different, but you know what I mean? They're going through a valley, and it's like, it's okay that I'm going through a valley. It just is that I'm going through a valley. It doesn't mean that I'm not a leader. It doesn't mean anything other than I'm going through a valley, and I'm going to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a leader to do that. So I look to be able to, I work constantly in the MMMs to look to myself from, what valley am I going through, and try my best to share that when I can become self-aware enough to realize that I am in the valley. I want to share it into that room so that people can see that, hey, you're going through shit. You're going through stuff. I'm going through stuff. Sorry.
That's okay.
We're all going through stuff, all of us, and we will get through this, and together we can kind of make it through together.
It's funny, and I appreciate both of your answers. Thank you, because I know I put you on the spot.
Oh, right. But thanks to Oscar, I had enough time to think of my answer.
I know. Oscar's like, I'm sweating now. But I think that one of the things, and it kind of made the point of the entire power of the MMM, and that is this, that is, we underestimate the progress and the leaps and bounds we can grow by just simply sharing where we are. There is something unbelievably powerful about sharing authentically and honestly about the struggles that you have. Like, literally, it takes all the power out of the battle when you can just say it out loud. And for whatever reason, you know, most of us are living in a place of self-preservation. We want to look good, or we don't want to be, you know, not look good. I don't know. We talk about, is it your need to look good or your need to be good enough? It's one or the other. But, you know, that nobody ever wants to actually do that. But it's so freeing. You actually said it. There's total freedom in it.
Right.
That is the power of the MMMs, in my opinion, is that you have a safe place to be completely transparent, to work through your caca.
Yeah, that's awesome.
One of the other things is, I'm not sure where I heard it, but I've kind of taken it on as as truth for me, that the way that I show up in life, like I show up everywhere in life, like the way I show up in not doing my business shows up in not going to the gym, let's say. So what I'm learning is that I might not, there are different areas of my life, personal relationships, love life, business, family relationships with my parents, things like that, that sometimes the relationship with my parents bleeds in, and I'm not looking over there because I'm trying to figure out why the heck is my business not working. Mm. But the way that I'm showing up in my, if I look to my relationship with my parents, I will see where I'm not showing up in my business.
That's great.
If that's that really makes
insightful.
Sense.
It's very insightful.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
Well, so we have no more MMMs for the rest of this year.
Right.
Right. So we're dark this month. Mm-hmm. So I think the,
I'm sorry, Oscar was dark last month. Now we're all dark this month.
Yes.
Welcome to the dark.
Oh, gosh. So we're dark the rest of this month. Well, I think the takeaway, anybody who's listening to this, I think you need to make it a priority in 2018 mm-hmm. that you get the schedule and you mark down the MMMs that you're committed to being at. And I just wonder what people would look like if they would commit for, say, 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, to staying at the course and going to every single MMM during that 6 month period of time.
I can tell you, it looked like this conversation around this table right now.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. So with that, we will we'll catch you guys later. Thank you guys for facilitating. Thank you guys for being committed to the MMMs and always showing up there and helping people and being committed to their growth. And it's just evident, obviously, in Tim and Oscar's business and your business, honey. And so with that, we'll call it out. Flipping out.
Boswell's. Flipping off.
All right. Let's get some flipping lunch now.